So title of my talk is Implementation of an Elementary School Located Influenza Vaccination Program with Billing of Third-Party Payers. I want to highlight for you our logo here, which is the Denver In-School Immunization Project. And then for this project, we had the Flea Fly Flu logo, which we created. You got to have a little pizzazz to get people to be vaccinated, I think. And so I want to thank all of our collaborators. There's a number of people who are here and a number of people who are back in Denver working to try and keep doing this. Without their help, this project would not be going on. So a little background as to why this is important. And we're, like Sharon, doing this program in Denver, a similar, we have a different model than they're doing, but it's a similar type of thing to implement vaccination program in the schools and bill third-party payers. And the reason this is important is because delivering influenza vaccination in schools is a challenge. Kids mostly get them in public school or public health clinics and private practices, but they can't meet the demand as we saw this past year. There's too much demand for the services that are needed. And so schools are a recognized place where kids are at. That's where they work. That's where they go. So it offers a platform to vaccinate large numbers of kids very efficiently. And a lot of kids don't go to providers for care, so you can now reach them because you're going into the school and connecting with them. However, we've done this in Denver with VFC programs where we go in and vaccinate children. These school-located programs don't have traditional billing of third-party payers, and because of that, it limits the program's sustainability. So the objectives of our program, and they're similar to Sharon, and because we were asked to do it this way, but what I'm going to describe for you is a couple of the objectives that we're going to doing today. So to implement a school-located influenza vaccination program, and we did it in one school district, Denver Public Schools, in selected elementary schools. We also have an adolescent project, and we're doing them in middle schools for adolescent vaccines also. We developed a process for billing third-party payers as part of this program, and then we're evaluating the acceptability, the feasibility of conducting this program, the cost of conducting this program, and we're going to determine the vaccine uptake and barriers to participation. Community collaboration is critical for us to be able to do this kind of thing. We started with really just background in how to do a VFC-eligible program, and we develop partnerships with a number of people to make this work. The most important was the school district. We went to Denver Public Schools and our health, their health services group, and they said that they were interested, and we've been working with them and have developed a good program. The DOTS program is their IT services. All of the evaluation requires us to get data on their students. They helped us send out the surveys that we're doing to evaluate the program. They gave us vaccine records and all that de-identified. So these are important connections that we've made with the Denver Public School Systems. And they value us being there, and we value being a participant with them. Kaiser Permanente, through their community health initiatives, anybody who works with schools knows that there's something called FERPA. FERPA does not allow health providers to go into schools and look at records or be a part of interacting with their children. The Kaiser Permanente folks gave us money to hire paraprofessionals to be able to go into the schools for the implementation part of the program, to be able to connect with families and talk with them, explain the program, get the consents back, enter things into the records, work with the school nurses, help us with our evaluation, and participate in the programs when we gave the clinics. Our evaluators, the University of Colorado, the Children's Outcomes Research Program, and the School of Public Health, very much involved in the entire evaluation and the cost evaluation of this program. And then Denver Health, which is where I work through Denver Public Health, but Community Health Services, Denver Public Health, Health Services Research, in putting this together, a product that we could then deliver in the schools, as well as the billing and contracts. We created the entire billing process for this through the hospital system that I work at, and then the data warehouse people who can feed us with all the information on vaccine uptake, everything we needed for evaluating this program. This team, this is a well-oiled machine that is helping us to be able to evaluate this program well. So let's describe this elementary school project. We did a subset of elementary schools affiliated with Denver Public Schools. We've done it in 20 schools through the 2009-2010 school year. Two clinics were done for each school, and the reason being is we wanted to catch the kids for the less than nine, when we first originally did this, less than nine for the seasonal influenza vaccination program. We also did H1N1 during the second clinic, but we could not deal with that second vaccine for those children with that because we only had one clinic of that. We did seasonal, intranasal, and injectable seasonal vaccination, flu vaccination, and then we provided H1N1 injectable vaccination during our second clinic. As part of our process, when we sent out our consent packets, we collected insurance information on families. If families did not have health insurance, there was a place where they could actually contact somebody to talk about getting connected into health insurance through whatever program that their families could qualify for. And then we billed commercial and government insurances for the services that we provided. This is a map or schematic of Denver, and it's just it's a sort of a large-scale map, but it's the yellow dots represent the schools. They're located pretty much all over Denver County. They do not represent a large majority of the schools, but they of the elementary schools, but they are through all the quadrants of the city. Now I want to go through the process of what we did to set this up, and that's what I'm highlighting here. First of all, we had our project team develop all the processes needed to establish, implement, and evaluate this program. This started from nothing, creating it completely from with no protocols at all to creating a full project. So that was a lot of work. We developed an implementation team that could go out and go work with the schools. We hired paraprofessionals who we then trained to do all the work we asked them to do in terms of working with the school nurses and with our evaluation team to be able to help the schools provide the services that they needed to interface with us as well as to help us with the evaluation. We developed contracts with all our stakeholders, Kaiser, Denver Public Schools, and all the third-party payers to be able to bill for the services we rendered. And that involved our contracts department actually writing in a section about allowing us to be able to vaccinate in off-site areas. So now we could actually vaccinate in the gas stations if we wanted to, the way they told me. We developed all the consents, protocols, and billing sheets for the program. We developed marketing tools, which included our website, which is right down here at the corner on the bottom. It's part of our Denver Public Health website. And actually, families could link to it for the adolescent project or the flu project, and they could get the consent forms and the information sheets, the health screening forms that were necessary. This is a big project, so we wanted to test things. We had never done billing in a school, so we wanted to test it. So we did a TDAP clinic in April of this past year, where we went to a middle school that was going to be participating in the full-blown project, and we did one vaccine clinic evaluation so we could set up every process, including the billing, and see how it went. And actually, Matt Daly will be presenting some of those findings tomorrow. Come 2:00. I'm not sure exactly what room, but it's good, a little commercial for you all. But it was very important for us. We learned a lot of lessons, and from that, then it helped us in doing the program this year. And then we finalized our entire process to be able to move forward with it. Sharon went through consents in great detail, but I'm going to just walk through what we did in sort of a schematic and just ride through it with you. So what we did was we had all the consents, a complete package of everything you could think of sending to a family in regard to a consent. We had an information sheet, the viz sheet, the health screening form, a letter from myself and the head of nursing for Denver Public Schools, and all created in one packet, English, Spanish on both sides, that was sent to the schools, and it was labeled per school, so each school had their own unique one created, and we sent that out from our program. Then the teachers in the office distributed those packets to the students. They were returned, and by their paraprofessionals and school nursing staff were checked for completeness. Then we created, and I was thinking about this routing form, because this routing form is hard, but if you think about healthcare now, we're always passing on somebody to somebody else. So we're trying to finish something, and then we have to send it on to somebody else to make sure that they can take the ball and run with it. So what we did with this routing form was the paraprofessional completed what they had done, and then they gave it and passed it on to us and our health team, and we went on with it and then did our part. So we knew if they hadn't finished something or if something wasn't there. Before it came to us, if the paraprofessional found something that was not done correctly, that they needed to talk to the parent about, and the consent had not been signed, they would then deal with it. As soon as it had been signed, we could deal with it. We then went and looked at the immunization history. As part of this project, we also had records from kids about their other vaccines that they had received. We put that into our registry, which then downloaded into the state registry, which then improved the robustness of that registry, and that was quite important to us. So all that information was entered into this consent into the registry system, and then the consent, health information, and history were reviewed for each student, and eligibility was determined to see if they were eligible to get the flu vaccination, or for the adolescent project to see what vaccines they could get, and that was completed and ready to go. So that the day of clinic, a complete packet was set, so that the school, the nurse, when they saw them and seeing this child, would know what they had to do, and so everything would be available for them. And then I want to describe for you this whole pre-clinic, clinic, post-clinic. And I'm thinking of this because this is how we sort of thinking about our billing process and how everything is moving through in terms of the cost evaluation and sort of startup and implementation and post-clinical assessment and all of those things. So if you think about it, when we did it in the pre-clinic part, there's a consents were distributed, vaccine records are obtained and updated, we verified insurance. We at least made sure that they had something there, so we at least knew. Process for the clinic were initiated in terms of what we were going to do when we went into the clinics and had all the protocols and everything ready, the crates with all the supplies that you needed to have. And then staff were oriented. It was very important that everybody was on the same page about how to do things. There were huddles at the beginning of the clinics to ensure, and all that was prepared and processed through beforehand. And then, of course, you had to make sure you had enough vaccine before you went there. Early clinics didn't always have everything, and there was a rush back, oh, we got to go get this and that kind of thing. So pre-clinic was very important for preparation. So they got to clinic. These were set up in the school, usually 8 in the morning, set up for 3-4 hours. And what was done was the consent were reviewed for completeness again to make sure that they were okay. Verification of the identity of the child was done. And this was important because we had one instance where there were two kids with the same name in the same class, and one of them, the wrong one, came to get vaccinated. And so it's only because, who's your mother? No, it's not that. It's so-and-so. Oh, okay. So then we found out it was the other kid that we should have gotten. So we verified that identity. We provided consents of vaccines to only consented families. If we had questions about the vaccine, the consent, or any of the documents, we called parents. And if we couldn't get a hold of them, we did not vaccinate the child. In this process, because we're doing an evaluation, we collected a number of documents and information, time, process, all these things to be able to assess this program to see if it's valuable and feasible and acceptable for the school, for us, for the parents and the families, and then providers we'll get into later. We gave vis sheets to anybody. We gave a vaccine that was specific to the vaccine that they received. And then we put everything into our registry, which then it's a Denver Health registry that we use, and then it downloads into the state registry. Post-clinic, we registered everybody into the hospital system, so they got a medical record number. We then billed for services. It sounds so easy, but it was not. The first two are not easy completely. We entered all our evaluation information into an Access database so we can collect and evaluate all of the details that we've done, time studies and everything. We provided the schools with updated vaccination records, and then we maintained the records for the next time we went back to the schools. So all that, one slide of all that work. Now, what did we do? So in terms of eligibility for the program, and these are some of the students that received our vaccines as well as some of the staff involved, we had 9,856 students who were eligible for the elementary school program. A median age was 7.6 years, about half were male, 77% were eligible for free and reduced lunch program, and the majority of the children were of color in our program. This is an urban-based program that was done. We did 40 clinics between November 2009 and March of 2010, and we immunized 32.3% of the student population. Of that, we gave 4,163 vaccines, of which about 60% were seasonal flu vaccination, and 40% were H1N1. Denver Public Health was a distribution center for the entire city and county of Denver for H1N1, so I wasn't going to have these clinics not get H1N1, because I was at one of those mass clinics where 500 people were in line waiting for that vaccine, and I knew we had to have it. So I pressed really hard, and we got it for our second set of clinics, which I was very happy about. In terms of the H1N1 vaccine, it made our second clinics enormously busy, so that we thought the second in planning was going to be a much simpler clinic. You know, about, if those 533 kids who got seasonal in the second clinic, 80% of them were kids that were less than 9 that needed their second shot. So that would have been pretty much a breeze to run through. But then we added 1,633 H1N1 vaccines. Now you've got two vaccines and you're trying to do them both. 54% of the kids received both H1N1 and seasonal of the cohort that I described here. In terms of the H1N1 impact, it wasn't available for the first clinics. We had to develop consent forms and packets similar to the seasonal that we gave to the sent out to the families. Again, we made them a different color so we could identify them, and it really resulted in these huge clinics. Of this group, 756 kids, or 46%, only got H1N1, and they did not bother with seasonal flu, even though we're right there and we could have given both very easily. One thing to note is we did not use the seasonal or the intranasal H1N1. It would have made things so much more complicated. We had one injectable H1N1, and we had seasonal, we had both, because we gave a lot of seasonal intranasal, and so it was easier. We could marry those two together much easier. In terms of billing, this upon completion of the clinic, we registered the kids, we assigned them a medical record number, and we billed them for services. We use the signature program. This is the Denver Health program through Siemens. Denver Health is connected to Siemens, and that's what we use. And it's a professional billing service. And we had two billing codes. One was for the vaccine, which we only did for seasonal, and then one was for administration, and we charged $12 per vaccine for H1N1 and $12 for the seasonal. We have 17 third-party payers that we've currently identified that are being billed. I don't have billing information in terms of the result of money we've received back, but I do have some information on the type of insurance coverage that we have. For only 91% of the first clinic, we found that some kids weren't billed, so we had to go back, and now they're being billed. They were sort of dropped, and I think that's a normal process in the billing world. I know more about billing than I ever thought I'd know in a medical care. But this is just looking at a subset of kids who we've immunized and we've billed, and you can see that 26% are commercial, and the rest are government or uninsured. And so if you think about programs before that have always focused in on VFC-eligible kids, you would have missed 26% of the kids giving them flu. And so now, by marrying public and private together, you can actually provide vaccinations to a whole slew of children in a very effective platform. What's the lessons learned from this? There's so many lessons. I was just thinking about this. I could have done this for 2 days on this one. Engaging partners early in the process is critical. You have to engage people and make them see that it's important. It's also very important to choose the schools that are really interested in doing this. Schools have competing demands. There's a lot of issues. They're supposed to educate kids, but if they're not healthy, they are not going to be at class. And so that's important, that you have school nurses and programs that want you there, and then they're more vested in it. The third thing is developing detailed training of staff. That's very important. Make sure everybody knows what their jobs are, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, when they're supposed to do it, everything to make sure that this program is successful. And lastly, the billing is complicated. It is very complicated, and we'll probably get this figured out soon. But it takes a long time to set it up. We did not use a commercial third-party vendor. We actually used our Denver Health System, and from that has been had some challenges from that, but I think it's important. So in conclusion, I think the developing strong partnerships lead to successful implementation of the school-located vaccination program. It would work with any vaccination program you do. Adolescent, elementary school, flu, any type of vaccine, you've got to have those partnerships. It's feasible to provide the vaccines in the school for flu. It's very feasible, and they provide an excellent location for it. Our plans for the year three is we're going to do this again. We're masochistic or whatever you want to say. No, we're going to do it again, and we're actually happy because H1N1 complicated things a lot. It delayed things so much to get things started because we were so worried about H1N1. And so now we'll be able to start in August and really get going. We're going to do a cost-benefit analysis, and we're going to conduct focus groups. So in this third year, and we're actually doing that right now, we're going to focus group on the school nurses, administration, and try and look at what they felt about it. And then we're also conducting a parent and provider survey to assess their acceptance of the program. And the reason we're doing providers is we asked them for their Medicaid number to bill Medicaid for the services we provided. And how did they feel about that? What does it make them feel to be able to do that? How acceptable are they about having the kids go get the vaccines in outside of their office and in a school? We're actually interested in this not just for flu, but also for the adolescent project. I will add one little caveat before I end, is just to say that this program took the kids out of their classroom for flu 13 minutes and 13 seconds. Very minimal amount, and if you think about a parent having to take their kid to the doctor's office and get it done there, it's at least 2 hours, I would say. So that's 13 minutes of loss of educational time, much better. I want to thank the people that gave us money to be able to evaluate this program, the Centers for Disease Control. Thank you very much. And if there are any questions, you can feel free to contact me. Thank you.